Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riverofTriCities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Said, I'm so excited for what God is doing. And I don't pay attention to what the world is saying. This is what's going on. This is what's, you know, you need to expect this. You need to think about this. No. Keep your focus on the Word of God. And I want to tell you, here in the last days that we're living in here, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be taking place. Let me just say this, in your peripheral vision. Hallelujah. Thank you. That just came to me. There we go. There's going to be a lot of things, church, that is going to be taking place in your peripheral vision. That means it's out there. You see it. You see it, okay? You're going to be aware of it. You know, I see that over there. I see that happening over there. But the important thing is that we keep Jesus before us. We keep His plan before us. And we don't deviate from any of that. This morning I want to talk to you about how do I dwell in the secret place. How do I dwell in the secret place? Because there's a lot of people who know, I've heard about the secret place. But how do I stay there? Psalm chapter 91. I want you to turn there with me. Tonight at 6:30, I'm going to be sharing another message with you. It's called Recognizing the Move of the Holy Spirit. And this, everything ties together. The things the Lord's been showing me. But the body of Christ has got to come up to another level. It's got to come up to another level. You see, Jesus isn't coming back for the church. People are like, what? I said, Jesus isn't returning for the church. Jesus is returning for a bride. He's returning for a bride that is pure, that is spotless, that is without blemish. Okay? And so, Liv, would you stand up here, would you, please, for just a second here? If you haven't met Liv, this is my future daughter-in-law. And we're so glad that you are here. I don't think we ever really fully introduced her. So this is Olivia Balsma, and this is Bryce's fiance. Bryce is the guy in the back with the big grin on his face right now. And so Olivia, she's a very beautiful young lady, but on the day of their wedding, she's going to take some special time in preparation. Is that true? I've already heard a little bit of the plans here. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm a guy. Hallelujah. It's like, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Ah. But I mean, so like if you had like a 5 p.m. wedding, I mean, you're probably starting like at 6 a.m. You know, just everything that is involved. But the purpose of it is so that when she walks down that aisle, the groom sees her and his mouth drops open wide and he's like, Amen. It's not, even though very beautiful right now, what comes later is spectacular. Jesus is returning for a bride. And she is to prepare herself for this meeting. Not just be, well, He gets what I am, whatever it is. Thank you. Because you may think, well, it's okay the way I am right now. But I want to tell you, Jesus is returning for a bride. And as we know that we are so close. How many of you believe that the coming of Christ is imminent? That means it's going to happen soon here, okay? There's nothing in the Word of God that is holding back Jesus right now. Except he's just waiting for the Father to say, go get her, son. Amen. There's nothing hindering. Prophecy's been fulfilled. We're ready. I'm ready to go. I'm saying even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm so ready for the return of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, you have to live ready. You have to live ready. You have to know this is what's getting ready to take place. And so adjustments that need to be made in our lives, they need to be made right now. Amen. And so I don't want you thinking, well, when I get to heaven, it's going to be just like this earth, maybe just a little upgrade. I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven. I don't want an upgraded earth experience. Because for the believer, for myself, this is the only hell I'm ever going to know. Amen. Is this earth. Amen. For the unbeliever, this is the only heaven they're going to know.
Right.
This is as good as it gets, people. Just like the old beer commercials used to say as they were sitting around the fire. Hey, it doesn't get any better than this. I used to see those things and think, well, God bless you. That's pretty bad if that's as good as it gets in life. Sitting around a campfire with a beer in your hand. Okay, wow. But that's the truth. I mean, this is the only heaven you're going to know. But I want to tell you, I'm expecting incredible things. But I'm preparing and I'm making changes every day. And you say, well, how do you know who to make changes? I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Well, this ties into tonight. Hallelujah. And I want you to know the voice of the Holy Spirit and how he leads us and how he moves, not just in a service, but how he moves in your everyday life. And it's important for you to find this place in God now. And for you to understand that he is with me always. He is always with me. He is with me always. I don't have to get in the presence of God, I don't have to psych myself out. I don't have to oh my gosh, if somebody calls, you know, in the middle of the day or the middle of the night and I got to pray for them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to fast and pray for a few hours first. No, we're ready at any time.
Amen.
Always ready. Did you find Psalm 91? I want us to read this here in all 16 verses here. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Now I'm going to read the rest of it. I'm not going to get into anything past verse 7 this morning. But it says, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you'll trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
This is where we have to learn to live. The secret. I've read about this, yeah, but I want you to live there.
Amen.
I want you to live at that place that you've read about. I want you to live in the place that you've thought, maybe that's just fantasy. Maybe that's too much. I want you to learn to live in this place. Now, we know that the Psalms were written by David. But this psalm, Psalm 91 and Psalm 90, were actually written by Moses. Okay, these were not written by David. Moses knew a thing or two about calamity, about needing to be protected. So you remember when God brought all of the plagues and all of the stuff in Egypt, Israel was not affected. They saw it, but they didn't partake of any of it. They were not affected by any of those things, although it was right there next to them in their peripheral vision. They saw all of these things taking place, but none of them suffered any of this. Moses knew there was a place to live in that most don't know about. And I want to tell you, even today, there's many Christians who they've heard of the secret place. They've read about it. But they don't know how to live there. They've even visited there. They think the secret place is like Disney World. They've gotten on It's a Small World ride, which actually drives me nuts. I hate that ride. They think that this is what heaven will be like. Well, God intends for you to live in this place here on this earth. Today, you can step into the secret place and you don't have to leave. You don't have to leave, people.
That's right.
You know, this is why we travel to the nations of the world, and I think nothing about it. No matter where we go, you're not going to hear me give a report, oh, I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about, I'm not concerned about anything. Amen. They say, well, this could happen to you. This might happen. Well, I want to tell you, if anything's going to happen, it's going to be God's favor is going to abound towards me.
Amen.
I'm always expecting the goodness of God. I'm always expecting the favor of God. I'm always expecting how great God is to be unveiled to us. Amen. We were actually singing that song, How Great Is Our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. We were singing it, though, in Swedish German, which is very different because the words are, so gross is der Herr. Sing mit mir, so gross is der Herr. That's the word, so gross is der Herr. And I was like, ah. Oh. It was a great time of laughter for the whole family as we're sitting there on the front row. So gross is their hair. I was like, how can you know English and sing this song with a straight face? And they sang it every single service. So on Thursday, we had taken a little trip up to the Swedish Alps, and we're looking up there and everything like this. We're driving in the car back, and there's a Swiss person with us in the car. And I just started singing as I was driving, so gross is der Herr. The whole car erupts in laughter. They just thought I was singing How Great Is Our God. It was all fine. It was all good. Inside joke. So inside revelation. This is the inside revelation I have. There is a secret place that you can live in, okay? Other people may talk about this and everything like that, but even they're talking all of that, and you're hearing, God's with you. God's with you. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. Don't be troubled about anything. If you read the headlines, you'll get all messed up in your head, and your mind will begin to say, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Hey, good things are going to happen.
Amen.
To you. Good things are going to happen to you because good things happen in the secret place. You say, what happens? It's secret. It's secret. No, I'm serious. If you want to know, you got to come in. I live in that place. I expect good things every single day of my life. I expect good things every day. You say, well, don't you ever deal with things that are not good? Yeah, I deal with them, but they're over here. They're not here. They don't become a part of my life. I can deal with things and not enter into it. That's why I can talk with people who they've got troubles going on and everything like that. And I got rebuked by Dr. Rodney Howard Brown one time. And I was trying to help a student when I was down there and as the dean and head of the pastoral staff there. And I had a student who was just, no, I'm going to do it this way. And, you know, and I'm not appreciative of everything that, you know, you've done to try to help me and everything like that. And so as they got up to leave me, they stamped on my foot and spit in my face and walked out the door. And so I was like, okay. And my heart broke, not because of being spit in the face or having my foot crunched, but my heart broke because I knew the incredible potential that was inside of this young man. I knew what God would desire to do if he would, like, surrender all. That's like we were singing. But until you come to that place where you surrender all and you say, Lord, I just want your will, I want your plan, you'll never experience everything that God has. So there's a lot of Christians who don't dwell. They've heard about the secret place, but they don't even know where the door is. They don't know where the door to the secret place is. And when I was so messed up after that guy did that and he walked out of my office, I got on the elevator and I was getting ready to go down and Pastor Rodney, he stepped onto the elevator door with me and he looks over at me and he goes, what's wrong with you? Because, you know, you can see stuff on people's face. Amen. I've asked people that before today. Well, what's wrong with you? What's going on? What's happening? Don't lie and say nothing. Because right here tells the story. Okay. And so when he got on the elevator, he goes, well, what's wrong with you? And so I told him as we were going down to the first floor. I said, this is what happened. Da, 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 da. You know, in about 15 seconds. He said, don't let other people's problems become yours. Don't let other people's problems become yours. You help them. You can do everything you possibly can to help them get past that and to move on, but that can't become part of you. You live in the secret place.
That's good.
You live in the secret place. You say, well, you don't understand. That's, you know, it's somebody in my household. That doesn't, it can be in your household, but that doesn't mean it's you.
Amen. Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's you. You have to be in a position of authority. Did you hear me? You have to be in a position of authority. If you're not in a position of authority, how can you help somebody else? I'm raising three sons. And during their time of growing up, they'll go through different things. I'm not going through it. They're going through it. I can help them. But they have a choice. They have a choice. Are you going to listen? Sometimes they want to listen. Sometimes they don't listen for a little while. Then they realize, you know what? I should probably listen. Because things will go better if I follow the advice of someone who's been there. Amen. But you can't just get into it and let it overwhelm your life, because then you're ineffective. And so the reason I can help people come into the secret place is because it's a place I live. It's a place I learned how to get into, and I don't come and go. I don't come and go, and that's a mistake many Christians make. They just kind of come and go in that secret place. It requires to see the effects of what it talks about in Psalm 91, it requires living there, not visiting there. That's my dwelling place. He who dwells. He who what?
Dwells.
No, he who what?
Dwells.
That means that's home.
Amen.
That's home. For 3 weeks, I didn't live at home. These past 3 weeks, I didn't try to make it home. It wasn't home. I didn't pretend it was home. It didn't feel like home. It wasn't home. There's nothing like home.
Amen.
Click my heels together. Okay. No place like home. Amen. Let's go, Toto. Hallelujah. There's no place like home. Because home, and our home is a place of peace. It's a place of peace. Because we've made it that place of peace. The secret place is a place of peace. It's a place of refuge, a place of protection. There's no fear there. None of that stuff. Why? Because God made it there. Because He's the one who controls it. I control my house. But God controls the secret place. You don't get in and say, I'm going to make it mine. No. It's not yours. It's His. He's letting you come and live with Him. When you get to heaven, it's not going to be, well, this is where I want it. No, I'm kind of this. But no. Idiot. Sit down, shut up. He's in charge. He's in charge. Amen. And so, the secret place is a place where you live. It's a place where you dwell. And it talks about here, he who dwells in the secret place abides under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow. The shadow of the Almighty. A shadow is something that it's cast from something bigger. And you can either walk in the valley of the shadow of death, or you can live under the shadow of the wings of God. Your choice. Your total choice. Well, you know what? I'm going to live under the shadow of the Almighty. I've made my choice. I'm tucking myself underneath Him, and I'm going to be good. This is going to be absolutely amazing. Amen? And so it symbolizes God's anointing and His covering presence. In Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary when she conceived Jesus. In Luke 9:34, a cloud overshadowed Peter, James, and John when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so this is the same type of thing. We understand what the shadow is. It's a place of God's protection. It's a place of His anointing. It's a place of His presence. And so you have to make a decision. I'm going to live in the presence of God. And so there's some things that I just want to tell you, they don't go in the presence of God. And actually, every single one of us know that in our lives. Every single person here knows that this wouldn't be what God would be doing. This is not where God would be. This is not who God would hang out with or anything like that. Okay, I'm not talking about ministering to. I'm talking about, you know, hanging out. This is my posse. This is who I because you become who you hang around with. Jesus, He had a meal with sinners, but He didn't live with them. And He ministered. And everybody that He went and ministered to, their lives changed. So you may say, well, they're just a ministry project. Okay, are they changing? Or are actually you becoming more like them? Are you compromising? If you're compromising, you're not ministering. You've already lost. I had a student down in Tampa I had to correct one time because, you know, he'd come out of, you know, particular, you know, things that, you know, part of the world and everything like that. And I got a report that he was ministering to some people who were on drugs. And I called him in. I said, so how exactly are you ministering to them? Well, I'm smoking weed with them. I was like, you know what? That's not going to work, buddy. It's just not going to work. How long have you been doing this? For a few months, man. I was like, and not a one of them have given their life to Jesus. They haven't even showed up at church. No, not yet, man. I was like, you know, this is not a working situation, okay? So you're either going to forsake this means of ministry and stay in Bible college and learn a thing or two, okay? Thank you, Pastor Todd. I'll stop that. Okay, yeah. Amen. That's good. But you have to understand that when you live in the secret place, You see things differently because you see things with God's perspective. Amen. And a lot of people, their perspective is still the world because they're more aware of what the headlines are than they are what the Word says. Yeah. You can ask somebody, quote me, Give me five. What's your five favorite verses in the Bible? Tell me where they are and what they are. Jesus wept. For God so loved somebody that he did something, and yeah. A shadow typifies the presence of God. But he said, under my wings, they will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And talks a little bit later in verse 6 about that. But we have to understand that when you know that I am living in the secret place of the Most High, then automatically this is what you're going to say: I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Because you can't experience verse 1 and not say verse 2. It triggers verse 2 to come out of your mouth. I'm not afraid. I'm totally good. Everything is fine with me. And so when I hear Christians talking about concern and talking about worry, first thing I know is you don't know to live in the secret place. You don't abide there. You've heard about it. I'm not saying you don't know the scripture. You could even quote verse 1. But have you found the door yet? Because we're supposed to live in that place. And when you live in that place, you don't get worried about anything else. I'm not concerned about the stock market. I'm not concerned about, you know, the financial structure of the United States. I'm not concerned with who's going to be president. Will I vote? Yes, I'll vote. Because I have that opportunity. And you say, well, how do you know how to vote? I'm going to vote on a platform. I'm not voting for a person's particular life. I vote on a platform. This is what the platform is. Okay? Because I don't agree with people's personal lives many times. Okay? On all three sides that we have to vote for. I don't like personal lives, but I vote a platform. This is what we stand for. This is what we are about. Okay? Because that's where I have to go. Because both sides of the aisle and the whole aisle itself has been bought. It's all corrupt.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's why I say, I trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
I trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, no matter what happens as far as who gets in the Oval Office, I'm not concerned. Mm-hmm. I don't have the least care in the world. Mm-hmm. You say, well, it could turn bad for the Christians. You know what? Whatever I found throughout history, I found that when it is not convenient for the Christians, actually, that's when the church grows.
That's right.
Amen. When it gets soft and everything is easy, Christians, they relax. And they just say, oh, everything's fine. We don't need to press in. But when persecution comes, and get ready, people, because it's knocking on our door. Okay? It's not coming. It's knocking on the door. Okay? It showed up at the door of America. And America hasn't recognized socialism for what it is. And so America's getting ready to get a good taste of it. All these protests, you say, oh, they'll go away. No, they won't. No, they won't. Why? Because we've invited it to our house. We have made way for it. We have encouraged it. You say, so what are you going to do, Pastor Todd? I'm going to keep living in the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't have my head stuck in a hole. I'm not that stupid. Amen. I'm listening to the Lord, and he says, this is what you need to do today. This is how you handle this. You keep going forward, and you keep taking ground, and you don't allow anybody to say, you can't do that. I was like, what do you say? What do you mean I can't do that? This is what God told me to do. Well, you can't do that. You're not God. You're not God. Well, we're the government. I don't care. You're not God.
Amen. Yeah.
You're not my God. You'll never be my God.
Amen.
Amen. And you'll never provide for me either.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Amen. I won't let the government provide for me. Why? Because there's always strings attached. There's always strings attached. People say, well, You know, I don't think so. Yeah, it is that way. It is that way. Why? Because the borrower is always slave to the lender. It's a biblical principle. People don't like that. They don't like hearing that. Don't tell me that, Pastor Todd. I just don't believe it. La 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 la. Amen. No. Get off the breast of the government. Amen. Allow God to be the one who provides for you. Get in the secret place, listen to Him, and He will show you how to overcome in every area of your life. If you don't, you'll pay a price. You say, well, what happens? It's just like I entered into the secret place, I found the door, I entered in, but I left my right leg out. Okay. Well, your right leg is going to pay a price. So whatever is a part of the world is going to pay the price of the world. Get in, all the way in, shut the door behind you, and say, this is where I live. When I go into my house at night, I don't leave the doors open. I shut the doors. They're shut and they're locked. I might like you, but you know what? I'm going to have to unlock the door if you come to my house. Not that I don't like you. Not everybody's evil. But I want to tell you that I lock the doors at night. And I go around and I check the doors at night. Now I need to do so after they let the dog out also sometimes. And like, okay, well, it's back in. But it's so important that we get in that secret place and we learn that this is where I live. Amen? Amen. And so you proclaim the word that God is my protector. Amen? Yeah. Because the secret place, first of all, is a place of deliverance. Okay? Psalm 91:3, surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Amen. People, if they don't understand that God is their refuge, they're going to believe the lie that, you know what, sometimes God will put sickness on you or disease to teach you a lesson. What a bunch of rubbish. There is not one supporting scripture in the whole Bible for that thought process. That was a person who'd been smoking weed or something like that. No, I'm serious. Like, whoa, I think God might like to do something bad to me, to teach me a lesson. What a whacked out God you have. I have a word for you. So gross is their hair. God's great. He's not sketchy. I don't know what the German word for sketchy is, but He's not that way. God is good. God is great. And God will protect you and God will deliver you. If that weren't the case, why would Moses say that there? Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The fowler was a person who trained falcons to kill. That's what a fowler is. Not the fowlers here. Okay. Ken and Nancy, we love you. You're probably great bird people. But the thing is, the fowler trained falcons to kill, and they hunted animals. And so He says, I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. And so no matter what the enemy may be planning for you, God says, I have deliverance for you. No matter what the world may say, we're coming after you. Hey, you don't have the key to the secret place. This is a place of deliverance I live in. I don't care, and I'm not fearful about what you say. I'm good. I'm good. I'm secure. I am safe. I live in a place of deliverance. I don't live in a place of fear. Amen? And He said, I'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. King James Version thereof. Hallelujah. But the thing is that, I mean, and we've seen, oh, what pestilence. That's disease. Actually, He talks about that. And that literally means onrushing calamity or plague. The noisome pestilence. Onrushing calamity or plague. So I know, you know, whatever they said, oh, this is what took place. This is what you have to look forward to. This is coming. I want to tell you, don't get worried about it. And don't buy into the lie. We had a lie in 2020. Okay? And a lot of believers bought into it. A lot of churches shut down. A lot of businesses were lost because of a lie. Okay? You say, oh, well, it was a real thing. Yes, I know. The flu is real. It's true. But there's not a flu season. Don't fall into that lie either. Oh, it's flu season, so this is what I... No, there is no such thing. There is winter. There is spring. There is summer. There is fall. There is no flu season. They say flu season starts about the time that end of October, when everybody starts eating candy, through Thanksgiving with all the desserts, all the Christmas stuff and everything. That's all flu season. Why? Because people stock up on stuff. They begin to eat stuff that tears down their immune system. That's why it's flu season. I want to tell you, I don't buy into the lie. Hallelujah. I live in the secret place. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. So I didn't need an inoculation. Amen. I didn't get one. I'll never get one. Amen. You say, well, I did. Well, let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Because you need something broken off of you. In the name of Jesus. You say, well, you're talking pretty straight. I know. Because this is a life or death thing. And if you don't listen to this message, you're going to end up on the outside of the secret place wishing you had the key to get inside. And so I'm telling you today, because this is a prophetic word, you better listen and you better get in and you better learn how to live in this place. Or just months down the road, you're going to regret hearing this message that you didn't do something. Because this is what God said, I want you to tell them, get in. This is time to get in. Don't keep your nose out, just get all the way in, live in this place. You say, well, it's not like I'm used to living. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your mindset. Whatever you need to do. Amen. But according to verse 4, let me find. He'll cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you'll take refuge. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. It's not literally that God has wings. Okay? This is a metaphor. It's like an eagle. If you've ever seen like a mother beagle, if you've read about them. Beagle. Did I say beagle? I didn't mean beagle. Lord, forgive me. God is not a beagle. He doesn't have a wet nose. But it talks about Him metaphorically as an eagle. And when the storms come, an adult eagle, will go into the nest and it will cover the little eaglets with its wings. And it will so draw them in that they're most of the time not even aware that there is a storm on the outside. Because they are so safe, they're not getting wet, they're not getting blown around. The adult eagle captures all of the storm. And it is unmoved by it. And its chief job is protect the little ones in my care. And I want to tell you, this is how God views you. Amen. He will take care of you. I don't care how big the storm is that you see in your peripheral vision that is coming. God will take care of you.
Amen. Yes.
It says His truth, which is the Word of God, and Jesus was the Word made flesh. He dwelt among us. But it says His truth will be my shield and buckler. A shield. The big thing that kept all the arrows from coming in. It was about the size of a person. And so no matter what the arrows were shot, the shield, it was good. And it would keep you safe from anything that was coming long range. A buckler is a small shield. It's about 18 inches in size, about 18 inches around. And they would keep it in their hand. And they could use it to either fight close up because there was a sword, somebody coming at you and everything like this. And you could use it to defend yourself. You could also knock the person out with it if you needed to. He says, I'll be your shield. My truth will be your shield and your buckler. So whether it's coming from a long distance or whether else all of a sudden it is a sudden onslaught, somebody coming at you to take you out, close range, he says, no matter what, I've got you covered. His truth will be my shield and my buckler. So I'm not concerned no matter how the enemy thinks he's going to take me out. He's not going to be successful. Amen. Because he protects me from all kinds of violence, no matter what. Last thing, he's freedom from fear. All of this, he says, I'm going to be with you. And if you dwell in the secret place, you're going to be in a place of peace. You're going to live in a place of peace, not of worry, not of turmoil. I don't know what tomorrow. Today was okay, but I don't know. I don't know if God's able to get me through tomorrow. Oh, I know God can do great things, but I've got bills. I know God can do great things, but he doesn't have to live with that person. Don't point. No. God says, I will keep you. And peace is the result. Freedom from fear. Thou shalt not be, verse 5 and 6, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. So whether it's in broad daylight and you see it coming, or whether it's at night and you can't see the attack, it doesn't matter when it happens, God says, I'm with you. So chill. Be at peace. Don't be concerned. Stop letting your mind go to those places that agitate you, where you are concerned, what if this happens? Who cares? Your imagination will go wild if you don't live in the secret place. I can tell people when they start talking, it takes me about 10 seconds to locate somebody, where they are. Are you in the secret place or you're not? Just let me listen to you for 10 seconds. I can figure it out. I can follow your posts. I'll go through your posts the last 2 days and find out if you live in the secret place or you live in your head. What comes out of you? He's like, well, you know, I can't enjoy life because there's so much bad going on. Oh, I'm sorry you live there.
Amen.
You shouldn't. You ought to leave that place.
Yes.
We don't live in an agitated place. We live in peace. We live in peace. And wherever we go, peace goes with us. Wherever we go, peace goes with us. We didn't leave it in Tennessee when we left. And we didn't take it with us, and nobody can have it here. The secret place is wherever I go because I live in that place. Amen. Got little Posey here on the front row. She's not concerned about a thing. She is like totally chill right now. Some sketchy people here. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just looking at some of the faces, Posey. Now they're smiling, though. It's okay. It's cool. She's not concerned. She's right in the arms of the protector. She's in the arms of the protector. And when she cries, all of a sudden, all the attention comes on her. Isn't that right?
Yes.
That just happened. Amen. God is your good father. When you cry to the Lord, he comes. Hey, what do you need? What do you need? But then, some Christians, oh, he's got to go out and find you. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You know, in Eden, God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and he talked with them. But after sin entered in, Jesus had to call out, Adam, where are you? You left my presence because you got in your head and you ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so many people live in that place. Well, Pastor Todd, if you knew what I knew, you wouldn't be so peaceful. Yeah, I would be. Because I know something greater than what you know. I know the one who's in control of everything. That's why I don't get worried. I don't get concerned. I don't lose any sleep. Amen. I lay down, and as the Bible says, my sleep is sweet. Amen. Unless we ate the Asian food that we ate when we got off the plane. That was not real great. Hallelujah. Took me a couple places because that Asian food was not in the secret place. It was not from the secret place. It's definitely not. No. Somebody snuck some food into the secret place. I was like, that was not God. Hallelujah. Freedom from fear is very important. Let me just say this here. Fear acts as a magnet in the realm of the spirit, and it attracts the very things that you fear. Job said that here in Job 3:25, for the thing which I feared, I greatly feared, has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. There's no fear in the secret place. Okay? And so fear is actually the reciprocal of faith. You say reciprocal? Math. Go back to math. Seventh grade math. Hallelujah. I think it was seventh grade probably. But faith is your belief in God's power and his desire to do good for you. Fear is your belief in the devil's power to do you harm. Fear is that you believe that the devil can do you harm. If you don't believe the devil can harm you, why? Because you're in the secret place, then you live a life of faith. And you're not concerned about, okay, in my peripheral vision I see this happening. Yeah, but it's not happening here. Right here. I live in the secret place of the Most High. Amen? And so it's very vital that you learn to live in that place. Get into his presence. Get into his presence. Rejoice in his presence. You know, when we have worship, enter in. Enter in. Don't stand there like this. Get in. Rejoice like a free person. Sing. Lift your hands. Dance. Hallelujah. Whatever. Come up in the front. Just like, whoa, I'm a free person. I'm not in a box. Worship is like one of the chief ways I see how free people are. Because I know that place. Enter in. Get all the way in. All of you. Amen. Bring your feet into that place of freedom. Bring your hands into that place of freedom. Lift your hands. And some people say, lift your hands. Lift your hands, and they grip the chair in front of them even harder. You're not free. You're not. If you can't worship in freedom, you're not free. You're really not free. If you can't worship in freedom, you're really not free. If you're bound by your head, well, I don't do that. I used to be that place. Because I used to make those same excuses. I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not me. I don't dance. Well, you better learn. In the secret place, you're going to dance. You're going to shout. Amen. You're going to rejoice. You're going to. Yeah. But otherwise, if you don't learn that place, when you get to heaven, you're going to be so out of place. You're like, what are these people doing? They're lifting their voice. This is not protocol. This is so not Presbyterian. Amen. But when you get to heaven, it's not Pentecostal either.
No, it's not.
As in, some people think Pentecostal. There's no snakes there. Hallelujah. I can't remember how many people have asked us, do you have snakes in your church?
Yes, too many.
I was like, no. If they did, I'd kill them. Amen. Got plenty of guns. I'll just take my choice, you know. Just shoot them all dead. Hallelujah. Amen. And we don't drink poison either. Tempt not the Lord thy God. Amen. Although, when we got in that Asian restaurant, anyway, you know, it's like this. Ha, shabba baba. Live in the secret place. Live in the secret place. Live all the time, every day, in the secret place of the Most High. Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Know that He's with you. Don't be worried, people. Don't be worried. Learn to get in that place and just, Lord, I just want to stay here because this is your presence. If you don't feel the presence of God, get back in the secret place. You got to learn how to live there, not visit, not in and out, you know, several times a day. Some people just live an hourly life. You can see them 1 hour and they're doing okay. You come back a couple hours later, they're like, ah, you're like, what happened? Life. You're like, oh my gosh. Is it really that bad? What happened? Somebody spilled juice. Is that all it takes? Is that it? Well, what's it take to get you all ruffled? Because that'll keep happening to you. Oh, hello. People didn't want to say amen with that. Whatever it takes to ruffle you will keep happening. Amen. And you'll live a ruffled life. Amen. Until you learn, no, I'm not going to live in that place. I'm going to live in the presence of God. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now for your wonderful presence. Thank you for the presence of the Most High. I thank you that we have a choice to live in this place, to live in you. And Father, I thank you that you've made a way for every single person here to experience your presence. Every day and every hour of the day. And I ask right now, Father, that your peace would saturate hearts and saturate lives. Do a work in the name of Jesus inside of each person here. Lord, I give you glory and I honor you because you're here with us. This morning, as all of the heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's moving around now except the worship team who's coming up here on the platform. And I just do that so nobody's distracted. It doesn't say in the Bible nobody can move around, but I'm just saying it's a source of distraction. So I just want your focus to be right now on what God is doing and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? As you're here this morning, there may be people that say, hey, I don't know that place of peace. I don't know that place of protection. I don't know that place of deliverance. I want to know it. And the only way you can know that place is to know Him. Whom the Bible says, whom to know is life eternal. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I don't know Jesus in the way that I need to. Maybe you've never given Him charge of your life. Maybe you've never made Him the Lord of everything. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I keep kind of coming in and out of that secret place. But this morning, if you're here and you say, I want to once and for all know Jesus in such a way that I enter into this place of His presence and I don't ever want to leave. I want to come all the way in and I'm going to shut the door behind me and I'm going to be safe and secure with Him. This morning, if that's you, and you'd say, that is me. And you'd say, please, please, what do I need to do? I want to tell you, you just need to give everything. Even as the worship team was singing early, I surrender all. You're here today and you're ready to surrender all. All of your heart, all of your life, all of your thoughts, all of ungodly patterns, all habits, everything at all. You say, I'm coming completely in to His presence. I give Him everything today. If you haven't done that and that's not you and you say, today, I'm ready to do that right now, I'd like you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. All across this place, just lift your hand. I see that hand right there. I see that hand right there. I see that hand right there. Who else here today? I see that hand right there. I see that hand back there. Thank you so much. Anyone else here today? Whether you've given your life, never given your life to the Lord, or you say, you know what? I've got a new perspective of some things right now. I see that hand right back there. Yes, I do. You say, I want to know, and I want to know for sure that I am in His presence. I have to be in that place. Who else here today? Who else here? I'm looking from side to side. I see that hand right back there. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? You'd say, that's me. I'm coming all the way in right now. All the way into His presence. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you raised your hand, wherever you might be sitting right now, I'd like for you to just stand to your feet. All across this place, just stand to your feet. There's probably at least 7 or 8 people. I might have missed a hand or something. Just stand to your feet right now. Or if you should have raised your hand, you said, I didn't. Did I miss it? No, just stand up right now. And I want you to come down to the front here, and I'd like for everybody else, after you've let people out of their aisles, I'd like for you to stand, everyone else. But please let the people that raised their hand, let them come down here. Come on down. I saw other hands. I could come and I could, you know, come and grab your hand and say, come on. But this is your choice. This is your choice. Right now, you're just acknowledging that God, you're giving God full control. You're not saying, I'm a terrible person. I've done terrible things. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you're acknowledging I need everything that God has for me. I surrender all. I surrender all. Who else here? You come here. You come down here with us right now in the name of Jesus. I'd like for everybody to stand right now. And if you're out there and the Lord's dealing with your heart and you say, I need to go up there, then just make your way up here. Just make your way up here. It's not too late. Come on. Come on. You say, well, I've been up to the altar before. Come again. Come again. I don't have a problem with people coming up as often as they want, because when you know that you know that you know, that's when you stop coming up. Amen. Amen. But I don't condemn people. I know there's other people that they've been on us before. They've been our cases. Well, you shouldn't have let that person come back up again. Hey, you're not God. And when God deals with a person's heart, they know their heart's being dealt with. Amen. Because His hand is continually extended. His hand is always saying, come here, come here, come here, come here. I love you. Come here. Come experience another part of my goodness. Come experience everything that I have for you. God is good. God is good. I want those of you that are up here, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. I want you to say it with your mouth. I want you to mean it with your heart. So just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I give you all of me. I surrender all. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that was shed for me. It has taken away my sin, because I confess my sin to you. Whether it's big or small, and I give it to you right now. I give you every burden. I give you every worry. I give you every trouble. I give you every problem. And I thank you, Lord, that you give me eternal life, that you protect me, that you cover me, that you deliver me, that you save me, and that you have put faith inside of me. And faith overcomes the enemy. And I thank you right now that I have been given all the faith that I need, and I enter boldly right now into your presence. I'm coming all the way in, God. I am yours. You are mine. I am in you, and you are in me. And Lord, I'm excited for what life has now, because you're doing great things in my life. In Jesus' name, I am forgiven. I am loved. And I am important in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.